couple quarantine jokes for you. So, one guy said, "Yeah, I used to spin toilet paper like the Wheel of Fortune. Now I spin it like I'm dialing a safe." Or one guy said, "I feel like a dog because I'm sniffing around the house looking for food. I get nervous around people I don't know, and I get excited about car rides." So, anyway, just laugh about it, right? We're in quarantine. Some quarantine jokes for you. All right, good. Well, you know, just all this junk that's going on, God, the Lord is so good, and He's the Lord's willingness for us to have hope and an expected end. And, you know, we were just meditating on, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. I want to spend a few minutes in the Word tonight. Matthew chapter 8, we were just kind of talking about this morning in our Bible time. And it kind of struck some chord. I had some other things I was thinking about, but then this kind of came back to me. And this is the Living Bible. And, you know, there's just so much negativity and so much just infighting, everything that's going on in the world. And it's just, you know, Jesus said in the end times that the love of many will wax cold, right? That, you know, you look and you see that if I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me, and it's just this infighting. But I want to look at some of the things that the Lord has done throughout the Bible, and I'm just going to share just a few scriptures here. But I want you to see some things. If we look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down to the hillside." Now, why did large crowds follow Jesus? Because he's good, right? There's just goodness. You see in the Bible that children wanted to be around Jesus, and he rebuked the disciples from restraining the children, right? And in verse 2, it says, "Look, a leper is approaching. He kneels before him, worshiping." Here's what we want to get to tonight. "Sir," the leper pleads, "if you want to, you can heal me." Now, the leper didn't question God's ability to heal, but he was questioning his willingness, right? Did God want to? How many denominations now are out there that are thinking about, is God really a good God? Does God want good things for me, right? And even through this crazy, COVID situation right now, you know, many people are, a lot of questions going on. Well, obviously we see that everything good and perfect comes from above, right? And nothing evil comes from God. But his question was, if you want to, you can heal me. So the leper here is not questioning whether God's his ability to heal. Because why? Because he's seen Jesus heal. There's multitudes, there's people following Jesus throughout this whole time while Jesus was on the earth. But if, and what is Jesus? Jesus touches the man and says, what's the next part? Maybe if it's my will. No, I want to. So tonight, we're looking at God wants good things for us, doesn't he? It's God's will that we're healed, that we're healthy, and that we're blessed, right? He says, I want to, he says, be healed. And what? Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus says to the man, don't stop, talk to anyone. Go right over to the priest to be examined and take with you the offering required by Moses' law for lepers who were healed, a public testimony of your cure, right? So this guy is questioning God's willingness to heal. Jesus solves this. Okay, now we can take this on to any, not just healing, but everything that is good that God wants for us, right? He wants to. And it all comes back to knowing his character and knowing God. Verse 5, when Jesus arrived at Capernaum, a Roman army captain came and pled with him to come to his home and heal his servant boy who was in bed paralyzed and racked with pain. Now, it's interesting because why would anybody go to Jesus if they didn't think he could heal them? I don't think anybody had questions whether or not Jesus had the ability, because everybody was coming out of the woodwork to show up to get healing from Jesus. So that was not the question. Many times it was, it was their will, right? Why? Because often some of these people had a sin consciousness. What does that mean? It means that they are focused on their mistakes and they're not sure they're good enough or that God would want to give them that. Yes, Jesus said, I might come and heal if I have time. I will come and heal him, right? You know, in these times, we gotta have the mindset that God is on the rescue mission. He is here to rescue us. He is wanting to save us. He's wanting to pull us out of whatever the situation we're in. Yes, I'm going to come. Yes, I'm going to heal you. Yes, I'm going to rescue you. Yes, I'm going to help you. Yes, I'm going to provide answers for you. Yes, 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 yes. Then the officer said, "Sir, I am not worthy to have you in my home, and it isn't necessary for you to come. If you will only stand here and say, 'Be healed,' my servant will get well. I know, because I am..." Oh, here we go. We're going to get into some mess here. "I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another one, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave boy, 'Do this or that,' and he does it. And I know you have authority to tell his sickness to go, and it will go." And what does Jesus say? Jesus stood there amazed, turning to the crowd, and he said, "I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel." Now, why was Jesus so amazed at this? And why does the Bible talk about this centurion or this Roman army captain talking about his authority? He realized that Jesus had tapped into a power, right? And Jesus was submitted to something, which was God the Father. And Jesus was under submission to him. This guy understood that Jesus was submitted to something, and he was committed to something, and there was a power source that he was getting it from, right? How did the centurion get his power? By submitting to authority, right? The Bible says that all power, all authority comes from God, right? And, you know, it's interesting because the Bible says so much about authority, but when we see today, anytime there's demonic forces involved, there's rebellion against authority. You ever notice that? That anytime there's demonic forces involved or anything or any confusion or anything, there's always usually some kind of a disrespect, some kind of authority is never. Why? Because, well, we see the police, and the Bible talks about those who, are subject to law, and those who enforce the law are basically servants of the Lord. Now, are these men? It doesn't mean they're necessarily saved, but it means that he's carrying out the safety of the law to help protect people, right? And God obviously wants us to be safe, but we see this individual is submitted under something. He has authority. He understands authority. He understands that Jesus is submitted, right? What was Jesus's motto throughout the whole Bible? "Hey, man, I'm going to do what I want to do." No, it was, "I only do and say what the Father tells me to do and then to say," right? That's why I'm amazed that some Christians go, "Well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that." Well, you got to have a scripture. I lost my opinion a long time ago. It's not, and it shouldn't come down to whether it's this or that. It should become that it was right or wrong. We should have the mentality, is this right or is this wrong? It doesn't matter which political side it is it biblical, and does God back this up? My opinion doesn't matter. And I always tell so many people, "Well, I think this," and I don't really care what you think. It doesn't matter. And you know, when it really comes down to it, God doesn't care either. He's not interested in our opinion. He just wants us to obey, right? That's it. Jesus wasn't debating God, you know, when he's on the earth. "Well, you know, Father, I don't believe that. I disagree with that, God. Father, I disagree with that. I bring an objection." No, he just did what God told him to do, right? It was just obedience. And so Jesus is sitting here going, "Whoa, this is just unheard of. This guy is committed." Psalms 31:24. Yeah, because you lose a lot of people when you start talking about submission to God, doing this, you know, being submissive, you know, especially you lose your, you know, a lot of people, they want to, you know, they definitely want to keep their own political views. They want to keep their own, you know, personal views. They want to keep all, no, you don't have that anymore. Once you become Christian, Jesus said, the Apostle Paul said, I am a slave under Christ. I don't have opinions anymore, right? I mean, my flesh would like to be on some beach right now, you know, doing what I want to do. Well, let's wait till January, and then when you're right, then I'll go down, fly down south somewhere, and I'll be on like Tahiti or somewhere. That's really cool. What? No, that's what I want to do, right? You know. So my flesh likes that, but what is the Holy Spirit leading us to do? Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Guys, I'm going to just tell you what right now. If we're going to stay with God, he will back us up, right? He will back us up. So, you know, it looks like on TV, every person out there, you know, wants anarchy. And every person out there, nobody loves God. And every person is for this and every person's for that. It was really interesting because we have good friends of ours that Adrian was talking, and we were at the car show, and when we were at the car show looking at cars, they have a car, and we were just having fun, you know, and talking and everything. We were there, they have a show car there, and we were just chatting. And this person works, and there was an altercation on TV, you know, at the court, at the Capitol building, and she was telling us about this. And you watch the TV, and she says, I saw the way that the news portrayed it, and she says, that is not what happened. You know? She saw the whole thing. And how, you know, we're living in this age where you think, and that's what Elijah, the thing that Elijah, when we see that Jezebel was chasing Elijah, you know, Elijah just called down from heaven, and you know, consumed from fire, called down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice for Baal. He's consumed his, right? He dumped all the water down and everything, and then he killed all the 400 prophets of Baal because they were all demonic, right? And they were worshiping the wrong God. And then later, Jezebel threatens him. He runs off. He's sitting here going, oh, poor, woe is me. Now, let me just say something. I mean, I know it's easy for me maybe to sit back. But, you know, if I'm an Israelite and I see God split the sea, I'm freaking out. All right, I'm just saying, the Red Sea splits. All right, I'm going to have to change my pants after that because that's crazy, all right? I'm just telling you right now, that is nuts. And if I'm standing there and Elijah, like, you know, God, fire comes from heaven and everything and it consumes this and everything. I'm like, whoa. How can I'm thinking again? I'm armchair quarterback over, but I'm thinking, how do you go from, I mean, God coming down for it, coming through for you, and fire from heaven and consuming the sacrifice to woe is me? You know, I mean, I don't get it. And here's you know, it just the story just that account in the Bible. Where, you know, Elijah is saying, there's just me, nobody else loves you, nobody is also for you. And the Lord said, that's not true. I've got thousands over here just like you, right? Yeah. But what's the mindset? The mindset is the devil wants you, no matter what it is, through media, through people, through friends, through your work, it doesn't matter what avenue, that you're the only one. You're the only one in the boat. You're the only one that thinks this way. You're the only one that thinks like that way. You know, you are nuts, right? That's not true. And the other thing that isn't true is God hasn't forgotten about us. Hello? He has not forgotten about us. And tonight we need to be encouraged, right? Psalms, I'm going to go through these here. You can write them down or something. I'm going to kind of do a shotgun approach here and read through them because I don't have time to really spend a lot of time on every one of them. But it says this, Psalms 119, 114, Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Who is it? God is our hiding place and he's our shield, right? He's the person we can run to and he provides protection for us. Psalms 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, right? That means we should be happy, full of joy, because we've got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on our side, right? Now, you got to understand, and I don't understand this at all, but when the Philistines, often they would come to fight with the Israelites and some other heathen pagan nations, they'd come along, and they didn't like the Israelites, but they were scared to death of God because they saw the results of God, right? I mean, the whole thing was about when they came out of Egypt, the whole world knew about it. I mean, they were all freaked out about it, right? And even the pagans were scared of God because they knew. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Right? What that means is our hope and our vision of God and moving forward, there is gladness in that, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. This is where I get into, because the word says that these people who are doing evil things, that are deceiving people, that are destroying things, it's not going to come very good to them. You know, not going to be a happy ending, right? Because we see there that everything, whatever man sows, he reaps, right? Anytime you reap corruption, you sow corruption, you're going to reap corruption. I'll get it out. 1 Corinthians 1:20. This is a Living Bible. Got a few more here. I just want to. He carries out and fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. And we have told everyone how faithful he is, giving glory to his name. Let me read that again. He carries out and fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. Every single promise in the Word, God is going to back it. The Bible says that he watches over his Word. What's that mean? When we speak the Word, when we say the Word, when we pray, no matter what it is we're doing, God is watching over that. He's making sure that nothing is corrupt, nothing hinders that. So not only do we pray, and whether we're speaking the Word when we're reading the Bible, or we're praying, no matter what it is, A, number one, he hears it. Number two, he backs it up, and he makes sure that it performs what it's called to do. Amen? And it doesn't matter. We need to stop listening to the lies of the world, because the lies of the world, you know, they're trying to say, you know, many places you can't meet for church, you can't do this. We are essential, right? I mean, when they've got liquor stores and abortion clinics and, you know, marijuana, dispensaries, they can be open, but we can't come to worship God. We've come to a new low in this nation. Amen. So we know that he's going to carry out all of his promises, no matter how many of them there are. Every single promise God is going to back us. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, here we go, guys, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Focus on the peace of God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You know, I can have the peace of God, and there's a complete war zone going on outside. But on the inside, I can have peace. Did you know that? And it passes all understanding, right? I mean, you know, there will be times where I've known people that have gotten born again, and you look at their life, and there's, you know, things that have gone on, and you're thinking to myself, my goodness, you should be on every medication known to mankind. You should have every emotional problem, but they have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that it just doesn't make sense, right? I remember I had the chance to meet Jerry McGee, correct? He's a former Hell's Angel, and, you know, there's a lot of talk of some folks wanting to do some damage to Hell's Angels, and it's like, they're not nice people. That's a whole another level of mean, and just, you just don't want to go to. But this guy got born again, and, you know, when he got born again, he was on drug charges, and he was going to go to prison, his testimony. And his testimony is that he was in a judge, and the judge was retiring that day, and he told the Lord, he goes, if you deliver me from this prison sentence, because he was a Hell's Angel, going to prison, got caught for drugs. Just, I mean, he's just telling me all kinds of crazy stuff that he had done. And he says, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do anything. My life will be committed to you. And the judge said, okay, this is my last case. I'm retiring today. Don't ever do it again. You're free to go. Slammed the gauntlet down. And he goes, right? Because God backed him up that day. He delivered him, right? Should have been in prison. Should have gone. But now he's an evangelist. He's getting all kinds of people saved. He's sharing his testimony all over the place. It's because God backed him up. He honored his word, and he was going to deliver him. Amen? So, you know, things look absolutely impossible. I mean, it sounds like this whole nation is coming apart, but it's not. I believe God's got a plan. Amen? And we can get in fear, or we can get in faith, one of the two. Amen? And the devil wants you to cave. The devil wants you to think, and the media and everything else too, that, and the world talk, the word talks about the world system. The world system is promoted through the media. That's the biggest promotion that the devil has, is through the media, through all the propaganda, right? And not to say every single thing in the media, we're not saying that, but what we are saying is it's influenced by the world system. And if we're going to base our faith on this, now, you know, like, for example, if, for example, just the mask thing, if you feel comfortable wearing a mask here at the church, do it. You know, nobody is condemning anybody. We're not saying that you can't because, you know, you're not in faith if you're not doing that. We're not saying that at all. It's your comfort level, all right? Whatever it is, we're not here to beat people up. But on the other hand, we have more faith in Jesus than we do a mask, right? And not to say that you can't wear a mask or you shouldn't wear a mask. That's your decision, okay? We're not getting into any of that debate tonight about, you know, whatever. But my point is just do, you know, what you feel comfortable with. But our faith should be in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you want to wear a mask, that's great. You know, I support you, whatever your decision is. But the main thing is we should have more faith in Jesus than a mask or medication or anything else. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? And so we need to, and you know, I would say that and people would take it and, oh, he's just extreme. He's not. We're not at all. I'm not at all extreme on anything, but the point I'm getting at is Jesus is our strong tower. Amen? He's the one that we run to. Now, am I saying we shouldn't have doctors? Absolutely not. Should we not have nurses? No. Should we not have medical attention? No. But I think we need to check ourselves and say, where is it that we're going to put our faith into? Amen? Because right here, like, I'm going to read it again, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through your face mask, through your doctor. No, it's through Christ Jesus, right? We got to get grounded. I remember John G. Lake, you know, when the bubonic plague was going on around the first part of the century. He was in Africa, and they're in South Africa, and he would say, give me some of the foam, and they had a person that was dead, and they take the foam off the bubonic plague, and they put it on his hand. He goes, okay, now put it under the microscope, and they put it under a microscope when they'd see the cells die when it touched his hands, right? Well, where was his faith at? His faith was in Jesus, not fear of that, right? So again, it all comes back to where is our faith at? Is it going to be in Jesus, or are we going to be afraid of the world system and everything else that's going on, right? Romans 14:17. What is the biggest hook or the biggest thing that the devil has for us to do? It is fear, right? The devil's biggest thing is for you to get into fear. That's all he wants you to get into fear, right? Now, we're not saying be stupid. Hey, I'm going to, because I've gotten sick myself and I've done dumb things like, you know, I've stayed up too late. I haven't got enough rest. I haven't taken care of my body. And then eventually your body's going to break down if you don't take care of it, right? You eat garbage. You don't sleep long enough. You don't do these things. We get it, okay? You want to take, Jesus departed and often he, from the multitude and rested, right? He spent time resting. So we do take care of our bodies. But the main thing is our faith has got to be in Jesus. Romans 14, 17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, right? That means it's not natural. It's not the natural substance of things, but righteousness and peace. Everybody say righteousness, righteousness and peace, and say and joy in the news media, in my education, in my job, in my bank account. No, in what? The Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? We're not saying shut your brains off on everything and be stupid and do dumb. We're not saying that at all. But what we're saying, the main point I'm coming to tonight is this. Where is our focus at? You know, and I'm preaching to myself here. Where is our focus at? Is it what's happening in the world and all the circumstances? Or is it we really thinking, or are we really going to believe that God is greater than all of this? The Bible says that God is greater than all our sin, all of our mishaps, every mistake that we made. God is far beyond all of that. And we can have peace no matter what's going on, no matter what our circumstances. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I remember it was funny, but I didn't know what else to do, and I still have this Bible today. This is what I had at Rhema. I've had this for umpty years, and you can tell it's been like, yeah, well-loved. And but there have just been times in my life where I'm like, I don't know what to do. And we had a wonderful, just, you know, you hear all the stories about people down at Rhema in college, or, you know, if you're in college, you're broke, you know. And, you know, we were down at Rhema. One of our cars blew up finally, and it was just on the last brink. And we were believing for a car, and literally we prayed, and a few hours later, somebody called us and said, hey, I got the exact same color and everything we were believing for. It was supernatural. I remember sitting here going, God, I don't know what else to do. And I literally took the Bible down and I like this, and I stood on it, and I said, Guy, I am standing on your word, like that. And I don't want you all to go home tonight, you know, and do this trick and go, okay. Stand on it. Now, but the point is this, I didn't know what else to do, and there was just so much turmoil going on. I'm just crying out to the Lord and going, you know what? I don't know what else to do. You brought us down here, help us. And I did that, and there was just peace, right? God provided. I did, he did, and amen. So, the point is we're going to have trust in God, amen? We don't need to get upset. We don't need to get into fear and things. And I still believe God's still in control. The devil can pitch a fit and try to fool anybody that he wants, that he's going to try to, but he doesn't fool me. Amen. I see through the lies. I see through the deception. I see through everything else, you know. And I'm going to rest in him. We just read there in Romans. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So through this whole point, we need to get our joy back. Amen. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that just drives the world nuts. You know, we can absolutely be broke, busted, disgusted, everything's going wrong, everything appears to be, and we can just have a big old smile on our face and just praise God, and, you know, God's going to come through, and they just think that we are just nuts. You know, because we're not looking at our circumstances, we're not looking at people, we're not looking into the other things, And you know, we don't have to take the news media's report. Who are we going to believe? Just like Joshua said, we're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. And I believe the word more than any circumstance, because we know that our circumstances can change tomorrow, right? I mean, hello? I've had a job and before too, and I've walked in and they've said, we're all done. We're closing shop today. Pack up your stuff, you're going home, right? And it can change just like that. And if our faith is in our job, then we're mistaken. If our faith is in anything natural, we need to do a checkup. Amen. Praise God. Let's have joy tonight. Have joy tonight. Amen. Lord, we need to get our joy level back. Amen. We don't need to be afraid of things. Hallelujah. We need to get into joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a joy where, you know, woo, you know, somebody gets married and that's, oh, that's so joyful. And, or, you know, that stuff lasts just temporary. But joy in the Holy Ghost means there's a absolute chaos, or there's turmoil, or you don't know what to do, but you can still have joy because you got the answer living on the inside of you. Amen. You got the kingdom on the inside of you. Hallelujah. The devil and the world thinks you're weird and it's crazy. That's normal. Amen. That should be normal. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for these people. We just praise you and glorify you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just want to pray a few things out tonight before we pack things up. Lord, we pray tonight for our nation. Lord, I come before you, Lord, tonight for our nation, that you still have a plan and a vision for the United States of America. I pray for our president, our vice president, Lord God, that you give them strength, wisdom, bring godly men and women into their council, Lord God, to do the right thing in the name of Jesus, that they will do the right thing. Lord God, they'll have strength to do the right thing. I pray for our Congress and our Senate, Lord God, that they will do the right thing. And I pray for politicians in November, the Lord God, those who are not going to go according to your plan, Lord, that they will be replaced in the name of Jesus, the righteous men and women that will come into office to do the right thing, Lord God, for this nation. Lord, and we pray for our governor in the name of Jesus, that you strengthen her, and lieutenant governor. Lord, Governor Reynolds will have strength and wisdom. We continue to pray for godly men and women to come under her contact, Lord, that give her strength. And Lord, we thank you for our local government, Lord God, that you will anoint men and women, righteous men and women, to step up into new places of authority. God, we pray for more men and women that are righteous to go into politics, Lord God. Those men and women that are anointed of you to come and to be leaders in this nation, Lord God. We also pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this nation like never before, Lord. We pray for an outpouring on this church like never before, Lord. The glory would come down, Lord. We thank you that the glory is going to be manifest in this nation like never before, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you there's strength. We thank you that there is salvation and healing, Lord God, and revival like never before in this nation, Lord God. We thank you that the end time harvest is here. But we also thank you in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. You said, pray, Lord of the harvest, would send forth laborers. We pray for the laborers tonight. We thank you that other laborers are joining this church. There are more laborers coming in the name of Jesus to bring in the harvest tonight. We thank you for it, Lord. We also pray for a facility, Lord God, that we have the right facility, that it is in the midst of everything, where everything's closed. No one wants to do anything. No one wants to meet or rent anything out. We thank you, Lord. There's supernatural provision. Just like we were talking tonight, when Moses took the rod and hit the rock, there was just a supply of water that came, and that water is symbolic of the Holy Ghost, a refreshing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to supply our needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And we thank you that there will be a perfect facility, Lord God. We thank you there are plenty of laborers there to help us, and finances are coming in. We thank you for it, Lord. We continue to bless you, and we praise you, Lord God, that our needs are met, Lord Jesus, and the plan will come to pass, Lord. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I have just preached myself happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need some joy, amen? We need to just laugh things off and just let those things roll off. And we say, Lord, we're just rolling off to you. We cast it on him because what? He cares for us. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.